Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Let us pray. Father God, you know all before it happens, Father. Father, I pray for the word today, Father, that maybe you had something for us and we had to switch gears, Father, that you will use TJ this morning to bring a word to our heart in unity and love, Father, and just help us see what you have for us, Father. Father, we submit to your word. Father, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated. So as Anthony said, if you're using your bulletin to follow along, or if you're online following along on the online bulletin, it's not going to match up. Things shifted around, and it's not going to be the same sermon. I'm not going to preach the same thing Patrick had planned. So we are going to shift gears, but this morning I want to talk about how cool it is just to be part of this body of believers. How cool it is to be such a part of such an awesome church, and how neat it is to see God's design for community at work right here at Harmony, because I see it happening all the time. We gather together in groups, and we meet together. We have different things going on all the time, and it doesn't just happen within the four walls. It's really cool to hear about how so many people in this church cares about all the different pockets of the community, whether it's the senior center that somebody's pouring into, or if it's the elementary, middle, or high school somebody's pouring into, the baseball team, the football team, just all the different places that we see community really, really happening. And it's neat because there's so many of you engaged in all of that that's going on. And so I could speak a whole day on the experiences that I've walked through or seen you guys that you have walked through, encouraging people, loving on people, just being united together. And it's always good, though, to go back and look at God's word to be reminded of how we should act and why we should be acting that certain way. And so today, we're going to look at the importance of unity. And I pray that through this, you're reminded that it's not some new groundbreaking science experiment, yet it's another aspect of community that God has designed, and it's his plan for us as the body of believers, as the body of Christ, to walk in unity together, to walk as one. We could go back as far as Adam and Eve. And God created Adam, and then he saw that there was no sustainable or suitable helper for him, so God created Eve, right? And as a body, we're intricately created and specifically designed to live together, and it's not good for man to be alone. You know, I once heard a phrase that said, "Unity is strength and division is weakness." It was from a devotion that I heard a guy doing for a football team one time, and he was talking about rallying the boys up together for this football team and talking about their unity on the team because there was tension on that football team. And he was saying unity, getting past all this division and all these little barriers, this unity is what's going to build you up, being together on the same page, moving forward. That's where the strength lies. You can have the same skill sets across the whole football team, and if you guys have any division among you, you will be a weak football team. But he was talking about that unity is strength and division is weakness, and when I heard it for the first time, honestly, it didn't make a lot of sense to me. It made sense. It just didn't hit me deep. And I didn't comprehend the depth of value that the phrase really held biblically until he started elaborating on it more in that devotion, and really until I started reading it for myself in the scriptures. When I read Paul's letters and some other scriptures that tells us to bear with one another, to hold each other up, to keep each other accountable, to encourage one another, to edify one another. I saw where the biblical basis for unity was, and it started to hit deep in my core. It became clear that there's something special about being unified together. And so I think it's important for us to look at the attitudes that contribute to the body of Christ living in unity. Because it's easy enough to say, let's live in unity and try to be happy with one another, but to actually live together and walk step in step with one another through life is a whole other thing. I'm sure you've seen that in your families, even within your own home. You want to strive towards certain goals. You want to reach certain expectations within your own household, and yet there's still tension. There's still strife sometimes. You're not always in step or step in step, right? And so it is true with the body of believers. It becomes even harder at times. There's more people involved. The more people, the more messy sometimes. But we're called to rise above that and to walk in that unity. So we have to look at these attitudes. And Paul starts off this passage that Anthony read showing how costly it can be, first of all, to follow Jesus in his footsteps. Because he starts off saying that he is a prisoner for the Lord. You see, he has endured hard times as he's followed the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. He wants to make Jesus known. He wants to live like Jesus. And Jesus was persecuted and crucified. Paul was ready to live that life to be persecuted as well. Because he looks different than the rest of the world. Jesus was different than the rest of the world. And if you are a follower of Jesus, you must be different than the rest of the world also. Jesus was ready to accept the persecution that came from being different. You must be as well also. People are going to come at you talking about you need to be about yourself. You need to rise up. Don't worry about what other people think. You just need to leave them behind you. There's all kinds of things people will fill your ears with that Satan will try to use you to cause division within this church. We must look different than the rest of the world. Put those things away and edify and encourage and unify. He was a prisoner of the Lord. He had endured very hard suffering, which is why he can challenge us the way that he does. It's why that he can write what he says in the next few verses that we're going to talk about and challenge us, because he's walked through these challenges. Through God's power, he's rose above these challenges. He's worked with others in his time through these challenges. It may be costly in the here and now, but the reward waiting for us is entirely unmeasurable. That's kind of the first attitude that we've got to have, is that we're willing to walk a road that we might be persecuted on by the rest of the world so that the body of believers can be unified and strengthened. That we ourselves don't make this team, if you would call it a team, I would call it a family, weak because of the divisions that we would bring in. He continues in that same verse saying that he urges us to walk worthy of the calling in which we're called. That word walk is often found in the New Testament, meaning our daily conduct. And the word worthy implies that you give it your all to reach your full potential in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying to conduct yourselves daily in a way that will help you be everything that the Lord has empowered you to be. Everything you do, every way that you speak, every person you talk to, all that you do, you should be doing in a way that would glorify God. He's given you everything that you need, and we have to live that out. Conduct yourselves daily in a way that will help you you be everything that the Lord has empowered you to be. And Paul continues in verse 2 to with some of these attitudes, saying that we must be aware of ourselves to sustain this unity. Paul says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Some of you may have versions of the Bible, if you're reading along, that says lowliness instead of humility. When Paul penned this, the word humility did not exist in the Greek, but through its context, we understand that lowliness or this humility is having this humble opinion of ourselves, to not count ourselves higher as anybody else around us, that when others speak, we listen. When others are in need, we do. When others have something or doesn't have something that they need, we give. Like we don't see ourselves higher as anybody else. Being humble is a necessary value to others around you. Being humble is necessary to value others around you properly. We have to value those around us. We have to show that they have value. When we're not humble, we weaken the body of believers as a whole. And then we see gentleness in there. It can be best described as being meek. And that meek word sounds a lot like weak, but it's far from the case. To show meekness in God's eyes is to show self-control almost over yourselves. It literally shows the fruit of the Spirit in you as you have power over self-control, not acting out in rage, is being gentle with others around you. When others bring up something that usually you would respond to in a type of violent rage or harsh words, it shows self-control to where you can speak love. Sometimes doing that is hard. Sometimes there have to be hard words said. Sometimes there's hard conversations that have, but it must come from a gentle spirit. It must come from a loving aspect of our lives, not from maliciousness or with ill intent. And this fits perfectly with being humble in the sense that it's being gentle with somebody, even when they give us an excuse to be harsh with them, to use harsh words with them. And even Jesus used the same Greek word in Matthew 11:29. Take up my yoke, learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. I see it so often. People are all so worked up all the time. Always so negative, always so hateful, always got something bad to say something about somebody. And there's always something. They're always worked up. They can't find the rest and the peace that they need, and it's because they're not living like Jesus. He says, take up my yoke and learn from me. This is Jesus talking. Because I am lowly and humble in heart. If anybody had any right to place themselves above everybody, it's Jesus himself. And he says that he's lowly and humble in heart. He meets us where we are. He loves us through the hard times, through the messiness, through the great times, everything. He's there. Jesus had every right to be a power control head over every person, and yet he counted himself lower than the rest of us to take on our sins. It doesn't stop there. Paul continues to give us more attitudes, which is long-suffering, or to be patient. As the body of Christ, we must be willing to endure each other's imperfections. Though we may strive, none of us will be perfect this side of heaven. And where is the unity if we jump straight to anger when someone does us wrong instead of trying to sort out an issue biblically? And so often in the world, I look around and I see, especially working with students, to where they're swayed so easily. And honestly, I see it with adults as well. But as soon as somebody does something wrong, it's, I got to get them back. I got to do something worse to them. Well, they did this to me, so I'm going to do this to them. Or they don't deserve this. They don't deserve my niceness. They don't deserve encouragement. They've been mean to me. We're not perfect. We are an imperfect people. We are a broken people living in a broken world. But we follow a perfect Savior. And so as He was patient with us, as He loved us through our imperfections, we must also love each other in our own imperfections and in their imperfections. If we're not careful, not having patience will cause division as quickly as anything else. The day and time that we live in such a quick-paced world that we don't like the word patience. We don't want to wait on anything. We order something online, we want it there the next day. If we want to cook food, we want it done immediately. If we go to a restaurant, if we don't have our food in a certain amount of time, we're angry. Patience is not something that we carry very well anymore, and we've got to get back to. We have to be patient with one another. If it's those small things that we get irritated over and frustrated with, how much more so is it impactful that we get frustrated over our brothers and sisters' imperfections? We have to get past that and return to these attitudes that we're called to walk within. And Paul pressed on this attitude even harder in verse 2, saying, bearing with one another in love. This love is coined agape in the Greek. It means unconditional love. We have to love one another continuously and unconditionally. There cannot be parameters put on unconditional love. That's literally the unconditional part. We have to love each other through it. We must be patient and bear with love with our brothers and sisters in Christ. That is one of the unifying sources that keeps us strong and makes us look different than the rest of the world around us. When we can have a disagreement about something and yet not violently rage at each other or belittle or demean each other, if we have a disagreement and we can talk through it, we can love each other through it, and we can work through it, we can find a biblical resolution, it's so much different than what the rest of the world sees. It's so much more impactful to the community around us. It builds us up. It makes us stronger. I'm able to sit in groups with guys that where we can have discussions to where we say, I don't necessarily agree with that. I see something this way. And we can walk and talk through those things. It's such a beautiful thing to see, because when I look outside of some of these groups that I'm a part of that can do that, I don't see that. What I see is a broken, violent fighting going on and tearing each other down. And so as quickly as I see people get torn down from that, I know that can happen within the church. We can't live that way. This is not something that comes instantly or easily as you join a church. Because you joined a church, or even because you've given your life to Christ and follow Him, it just doesn't make everything perfect and seamless. We're warned in verse 3 that we are to be making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Making every effort means to give diligence, to exert yourself to maintain this unity. Satan is attacking. He's got his ways to manipulate and to destroy, to deceive. And so we have to exert ourselves to give diligence to these areas in our life, because they can easily be overcome with darkness. And Paul shows that this unity of the Spirit is giving us hope, that it is a strong, binding kind of unity that we are working so diligently for. We know that what we strive for is not in vain, but it's part of God's plan. We know that this type of unification of the body of believers is God's plan because of the foundation that Paul lays out in the rest of the verses that we'll look at. And starting in verse 4, there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling, one Lord and one faith, one baptism, one God and Father above all, who is above all, through all, and in all. The body that Paul speaks of is you. It's us. It's the church. Not this building per se. Not any building. It's the people that make up Harmony Baptist. It's the people that make up First Richburg Baptist or Lando Baptist or whatever other church you want to put out there. That's the body of believers. One body, he says, that we are. We have to live in such a way that we're unified to bring the message of the gospel to those that are not part of the body yet. It's the universal church across the entire world. All believers in Jesus Christ worldwide make up this body that Paul discusses. And we can scale it down to our own community right here while we're thinking about unity and strength. The division is weakness. I think about how HBC can love people through various ministries, reaching the lost and helping others grow in Christ. It's because, like I said earlier, God's design for community is already at work in this church. It's great that God uses us to do such a wonderful task. He chooses us. He chooses Harmony to be a vessel for his light in this community. But then I think about all the other churches that are in kind of a close range to us, and I hear this from being connected with other student pastors across South Carolina in general. It's hard for churches to come together. It's almost like some churches are scared to join together and work within the community together because they're scared that somebody's going to get a member from this church or some member's going to leave or go to here. It's almost like we're being a little picky with our people instead of living like we're one body working together in our community, one unified group of people striving for Jesus Christ. And I do believe that there's a true importance on the local body, on you know, churches per se, but I think when it comes to the community, us living in unity together does much more impact as a whole. The impact that we have in our community is great when we're unified. The issue, though, the scary part of this is that when we're not unified, when we start to have these competitions with each other, we become diverse. The impact of that is that 4,000 churches close their doors permanently every year in America. Churches are upset about the carpet color, about the padding on the pews. Churches are upset about whatever it may be. And they close their doors. There's 4,000 churches average a year that close their doors in America. That's what division brings in to a church body. That's what happens when churches, different local church bodies, can't collaborate together and work for the kingdom of God in the community. We must not look towards one another with competition, even personal life competition, but with unity and peace, being humble towards one another, gentle with one another, loving each other through our imperfections. Paul says next that there is one Spirit. That Spirit has been mentioned seven times up to this point in chapter 4 through Ephesians. See it in Ephesians 1:13, 1:14, 2:18, 2:21 and 22, Ephesians 3:5, 3:16, and lastly, here in 4:3. Like, there is something special about this. Paul says that that Spirit is binding. You think about how the Spirit comes and dwells within us. God is within us because of that. That Spirit is in me and that Spirit is in you. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We have to act like that. And Paul says there's one hope at your calling. This is the picture of eternal life, which is only found in Christ our Lord, our Savior, who Paul carefully pins next in verse 5, that there's one Lord, his reference to Jesus Christ here. There's only one Messiah. And Jesus plainly put it in John 14, 6 and 7, where he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will also know my Father. Jesus is the one. The one that says this, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you know me, you'll know my Father. He's also the one that says, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. If we are to follow Jesus and his examples, we are to love like him, to be patient like him, to be gentle like he is. And the way that he unified his disciples and his followers then, what we are called to do now. To unify together, to edify each other, to build each other up, to encourage each other, to hold each other accountable, to challenge each other to rise above the situations we're in, to walk step in step with the Father. And Paul then says we have one faith and one baptism. Being in one faith means that we are doctrinally aligned. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in God the Father. We believe that the Spirit has come to us, And if for some reason, any reason, you don't know where HBC stands on a particular doctrine, I'd love for you to ask about it. Patrick will talk to you. I'll talk to you about it. We'll be happy to share with you from the truth of God's word what we believe. But doctrinal alignment is important about being unified. We have to be on the same page. And Paul clearly states that there's one God and Father of all. Paul emphasized that the Father's personality is to be the Father of us all. But he also emphasized the divinity and the power of being above all and through all and in all. As a community, we must be rooted together in unity with all of this in mind to stand strong, be impactful, and be disciples who make disciples. And so I challenge you this week to whatever divisions you may have against somebody or with somebody, I pray that you would prayerfully seek out a biblical resolution. I pray that you would look at this as an opportunity to say, what are areas or who are people in my life that I might have something with that I need to figure out a biblical resolution for? How can I get with somebody that I might not see eye to eye with right now and become unified with them in faith, step in step with Christ? How can I do that? And if this is this community that I'm talking about, this unity through Christ, if that's something new to you, I want you to know that unity through Christ and in Christ is something special. It all starts with a relationship with Jesus. And if you feel Jesus, feel God tugging on your heart this morning about wanting to walk in unity with Christ and be in a community of believers that are impactful to the world for the glory of God, have a response to God this morning. Pray to Him. Call out to Him. Seek out the areas in your life to where you might need to find biblical resolution in being unified with one another. If you want to talk about that or if you need to pray about that, we'll have a time of response in a minute to where you can come and pray. You can hit your knees and you can see where the divisions and the walls are up in your life. And you can pray that God would remove those things, tear them down, and that He would bring in unity and encouragement and edification and building up of one another. So in that time of response, I ask that you would respond to God accordingly to what He's calling you to do. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this church body. God, I thank you for the believers that you've brought together here at Harmony and the fact that I'm able to be a part of this beautiful family. God, there is unity here, but along the years, I know I have seen some division as well. I have felt that in my own life. And God, I ask that you would just allow me to continuously see the areas in my life, the people that I struggle with, the situations that I struggle with, and that I wouldn't just succumb to frustration and act out of a lack of self-control, but that I would follow you step in step, being patient, bearing with each other in love, knowing that I'm as imperfect as any other person. I'm as messed up as any other person. And Father God, let me humble myself before you, that I may connect with those that I might struggle with, the situations that I might struggle with, and that we would meet together, we would grow together, we would build each other up, edify one another, we would become unified and stronger than ever in you. Father God, let that be the prayer of all of us this morning, to walk with you in unity, together, making an impact in this community and in this world. God, be with us and change our hearts this morning. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. If you have areas of division in your life, amongst people in your life, I pray that you would hit your knees this morning and pray and seek out what can be done to bring unity between you and maybe another person. And that you would respond to God how it's fitting this morning in this time of response. Would you stand and worship with us?